Backseat Box Office, episode number 132, for the weekend of March 29th through March 31st, 2013. Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Jeff.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and this is Backseat Box Office. Hello, everybody, and hello, Jeff.
Hello, Lena. How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired. I'm moving Saturday. I'm freaking out. I need a drink. I need a nap. I need someone to finish packing.
Well, it's over, and you'll be in your brand new place.
I know. I'm very excited about that.
Without phone, without electricity, without heat or air.
No, they turned on, well, I mean, since it's an apartment complex, the electricity is always on, but it got switched to my name today, and also the cable and internet hookup was done today, which means when I move in on Saturday, I have to hook it up myself, and I have no idea what that entails. So I don't know how that's going to go, because it's not, it's a the company's called INC, but for my TV, I will have Dish TV. It's really my only option. The whole complex is satellited up for Dish TV.
So did you have to get everything off your... I'm sorry, are you losing your DVR, is what I'm trying to say. Did you have to... Because if I was going to move for 99% of other reasons, but I had to watch everything on my DVR, I don't know if I could do it.
Well, the thing, I never did get to watch the two Iron Mans that I DVR'd. But I figure, I know that Redbox has had Iron Man 2 forever, and they've recently picked up Iron Man 1 since Iron Man 3 is going to be coming out soon, so I'm quite sure I'll be able to watch the two of them before I see Iron Man 3. I didn't really have anything super crucial DVR'd, but yeah, I will lose what little is in my DVR. And I never really used it to its full potential, so shame on me. And for internet, I will have... Is cable and DSL the same thing? Is that like for internet?
Cable modem service or broadband is about anywhere between 5 to 8 times faster than DSL.
I think mine's cable.
I'm sure someone is screaming at their iPod in the future, mm-hmm. saying how wrong I am, but cable's a lot faster than DSL. But that's why you end up paying more for cable.
I think my internet is cable.
Okay.
So my choices were either through this INC company or Verizon. But Verizon's prices were too high, and yeah. I actually got a faster speed through INC.
Yeah, they... Verizon's getting a little ridiculous, but mm-hmm. that's a discussion for another time.
And I will also no longer have my landline phone, which is going to be very strange for me. I love my landline phone. I mean, when I'm home, I use it a lot. I just like it. It'll be weird to only have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think minimum it would have cost me... almost $40 a month, minimum. And that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
I want to get rid of our landline, but the wife, she doesn't want to give it up.
If it was a reasonable cost, I would have kept it. Although I had a really nice, simple phone number, and I would have lost it, and that would have pissed me off, too. So that kind of softens the blow. I really like my phone number. I've been very lucky. When I lived in the 90s, I lived in San Francisco for 3 years, and my phone number started... They actually gave me the choice. I could either have a phone number that started with 669 or 666, and I thought, who the hell would not... want 666 as your phone number? Come on. Come on!
Yeah, just call me at 666 Red Room.
And I had, I don't remember the rest of the phone number. There were actually more sixes in the phone number. Best phone number ever.
Wow.
But I would have lost the very simple, easy to remember phone number that I have now. If I still wanted a phone, I would have lost it anyway. So poop on that.
So any movies since we last talked?
No. Haven't rented anything. I haven't even updated House of Cards on Netflix. I've been packing all week long. Because I am a bad girl, I am a procrastinator. And the packing part is not so bad, but there's just so much stuff that I need to throw out. Magazines and notebooks and papers and stuff, like shoe boxes, just stuff that I think I can use this shoe box, this will come in handy. And other than the cat wiggling her big behind in it, there's really no need for me to have it. But it makes her happy, so I keep it.
Yeah.
So, like I said, the packing itself, not so bad. It's just everything else. But I've been kind of doing, you know, halves and corners of rooms every night. Basically go until I'm exhausted, and I've stirred up so many dust bunnies that I can't even see anymore. And then I go to sleep. But it's almost over. I'm moving Saturday afternoon. The unpacking is never as bad as the packing.
Yeah.
I'm going to attempt to unpack in somewhat of an orderly fashion. Attempt. I say this every time I move, but I'm still going to attempt. And now, well,
there's not going to be any witnesses, so just come up with a story you're comfortable with.
That's right. By next Thursday, my apartment will be completely in order and spotless and miraculously bigger than it actually is. Yuck. Have you seen any movies, Jeff?
No. I'm starting to realize this is me. You know, start doing join a movie podcast and then stop watching movies. I, at the risk of boring our listeners, I have my baseball draft tomorrow night, so I have been studying like I'm trying to pass the bar. So between reading about all the new players and all that, and then organizing 12 male adults to be somewhere at the same time. But most of them are in Southern California. We have one guy in Texas, and we have two guys that actually teach English in Korea.
Oh, wow.
So when I say 8 p.m. Pacific, it's actually like 5 a.m. their time the next day.
That is some badass dedication.
Yeah, so anyways.
Now let me ask you a question about that before we get on to why we're actually here. So it's a draft. So like any other draft, no two people can have the same player.
Correct.
How do you deal with that? Like how do you, if you want someone and someone else does, how does the pick go?
It's the beauty of the internet. Everything is done online. And if someone gets taken, then it just pops him off the list, and you can't take that person.
So it's a first come, first serve.
Pretty much. Oh. So we have 12 owners, so there's a randomized draft order.
Ah.
It's snakes, so whoever has the first pick in round one has the last pick in round two. So
interesting.
It's kind of it's a little different because the NFL they don't do that. So it's going to take 24 rounds. Everyone has 90 seconds to pick, so it's probably going to take about 2 hours if we're lucky.
Wow.
But right now, I'm just trying to relax because I always want everybody to show up and not everyone shows up. So if a person isn't there, the computer just what they call auto-draft.
Oh, okay.
So.
And
that's what I'll be doing tomorrow night.
So do you have, like, your full team of wish picks and then backups just in case? Or do you kind of, you know, run it on the fly?
The beauty of the internet is that there's always people smarter than you. So I found a site that I'm pretty close to how I like to pick players. Mm-hmm. So I just get my list, and I'll just go down the list. That's definitely going to happen.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where, you know, all my decisions I'll be making on Friday night, will have ramifications for the next 6 months.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, so, yeah, no pressure. Anyways.
Well, good luck tomorrow night and have fun.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it makes this a lot easier.
Yes.
So I don't, like, oh my God, I couldn't believe I had that movie number one. But anyways. I can't complain this week.
You what?
I can't complain with the box office from this week.
You know what? There's a number of us that can't and won't complain. And I'm hoping that within, obviously not this weekend because I'll be kind of busy, but next weekend or the weekend after, I can finally start getting around to seeing movies again because I love going to the movies and I miss it. And it does kind of help for what we do here.
I'm going to try to go to a movie tomorrow, but I have no idea what I want to see.
Gotcha. And speaking of that, let me go over how the movies did this past weekend. The Croods opened at number one, grossing $43.6 million. Olympus Has Fallen opened at number two, grossing $30.4 million. Oz the Great and Powerful fell to number three, grossing $21.6 million. The Call fell to number four, grossing $8.9 million. Admissions opened at five, grossing $6.2 million. Spring Breakers had a magnificent rise from 27 to six, grossing $4.9 million. And I'm going to go as far as number seven, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, grossing $4.3 million. And speaking of movies, speaking of picks, a whole bunch of us kind of did well. We had five perfect scores, including your ridiculously adorable hosts.
I can agree with that. Carry on.
Thank you. Also, BD, Art, and Tad also had the same picks. Art and Tad also had voicemails, so we're going to listen to both of them together, listen to them say the same picks, and go ahead, guys.
Hey, this is Art calling in my picks. Wow. Well, going to go with The Croods at number one. I just didn't think it looked interesting at all. I just really wasn't interested, but it's in 4,000 theaters, and that's just crazy. So I'm going to say that's going to be hands away number one. We also haven't had a decent kids movie in a while. Number two, I'm going to go Olympus Has Fallen, good action flick. We'll see where that goes. Number three, Oz the Great and Powerful. Number four, The Call. That's a little bit of a surprise. It did a lot better than I thought it would, and I think it'll stay a little while longer. Number five, Admissions. I just really feel like that's where this type of movie generally comes in, given the other numbers the movies are putting up. And as far as Spring Breakers, I think that's going to be a big disappointment, but we'll see what happens. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, this is Tad calling in with my picks for the week. I'm going to go, let's see, The Croods at number one. And then Olympus Has Fallen at number two. I'm going to do Oz at number three. I'm going to do The Call at number four. And then I think I'm going to do Admission at number five. So those are my picks for the week, and good luck, everybody. Oh, and I think it's Scott that does backseat quickies. Thanks for doing those. I appreciate that, and I'll talk to you all next week. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, and clearly, since we got them all right, I don't have to go over them again. Next, we had Father Beast with 24, so good on you, Father Beast. He had the first four correct, The Croods, Olympus Has Fallen, Oz the Great and Powerful, and The Call. The only difference, he had Spring Breakers at five, and it came in at six, so he only lost 1 point. Next,
he had the guts. I'm sorry, Lena. He had the guts to do what I wanted to do. I just, because I thought Spring Breakers could be a little more dynamic, but yeah, they didn't crack the top five.
Well, as we get further down the list, there is one movie picker who thought Spring Breakers would be really much more dynamic, but we'll get into that in a couple minutes. Next up is Kugron. He had 23 points. He had the first three correct. The Croods, Olympus Has Fallen, and Oz the Great and Powerful. And he had Admissions in fourth instead of fifth, and Spring Breakers in fifth instead of sixth, losing 1 point each. Also with 23 points is Scott. He had the Croods correct. He flip-flopped Oz the Great and Powerful and Olympus Has Fallen in second and third. And he had the Call and Admission correct. Next is Nick with 20 points, and he had a voicemail, so let's give a listen to that.
Hi, this is Nick. Number one, I'm going to go with the Croods. Two, Oz. Three, Olympus Has Fallen. Four, The Call. And five, Burt Wonderstone. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. He had the Croods correct at number one. Oz the Great and Powerful and Olympus Has Fallen flip-flopped in second and third. He had the Call. Oops. Oh, look at me making mistakes again. Oh, I'm just a mess. He had the Call correct at number four. And he had Burt Wonderstone in fifth instead of seventh. So he actually had 21 points, not 20. Next up is your little friend Scuba Dave. He had Oz the Great and Powerful at number one, and since that came in number three, he lost double the points, which is four. He had the Croods at second instead of first, Olympus Has Fallen in third instead of second, and he had the Call and Admission correct in fourth and fifth with 19 points. And rounding things up, we had Mrs. Beast. She had Olympus Has Fallen first, and that was a 2-point hit. She had Spring Breakers in second. That is faith. So proud of you, Mrs. Beast. She had the Croods in at third instead of first, Oz the Great and Powerful in fourth instead of third, and she had Admission correct at number five. So since I did that, I need to go look and see if how that is going to change the leaderboard. Not very much. So, Monty is still in first with 24 points. BD is in second with 22.4 points. Art is in third with 22 points. Kugron in fourth with 21.6 points. Scuba Dave has dropped down to fifth with 21 points. Jeff, you are in sixth place with 20.1 points. Scott is in seventh, 19.2 points. Tad is in eighth with 19.13 points. Nick is in ninth with 19.12 points. Oh, so close. Father Beast is in 10th, 18.6 points. I am in 11th, 17.7 points. Mrs. Beast in 12th with 16.3. And Mentally in 13th place with 13.7 points. And I believe, if I check this real quick, I believe Mentally is just about to drop off the list because she has 5 weeks without picks. So, well, the one thing about that is if you do drop off and people drop off, when you come back right where you left off. So she doesn't have to start again. She will come back starting with the 13.7 points.
Maybe she wants to start again. Or start over, excuse me.
She plays from her heart, and you can never fault her for that.
Oh, not at all.
Never. We love you, Mentally.
By the way, was that it for the leaderboard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you remember what movie came in number one a year ago today? Or a year ago from last weekend? I'll throw you a huge hint.
Please do.
It came in at $152 million.
Oh, please. Please tell me it's not Twilight.
No.
Oh, thank you.
Close, though.
Something equally bad? The Avengers?
No. You're going up this. You're going up in quality of movie. Go down.
152 million. Go
same,
down.
Same demographic as Twilight.
Oh Lord.
Adapted from a book. Popular book series.
It wasn't Twilight.
The Hunger Games.
Oh.
Came out on 4,100 screens, $152 million.
You did not like The Hunger Games, I'm assuming.
It was all right.
I wouldn't classify it as crappy as Twilight.
Well, no, I think it's in between Twilight and Avengers.
I'll give you that, okay. I was thinking you were saying it was, you know, Avengers was much too high and stick down to Twilight level.
No. No. I enjoyed it. You know, there was some pretty big holes in it, but
I haven't read the books yet, so I probably enjoyed it then more than people who did read the books. I have them, just haven't read them yet.
All right, so since we're done talking about last week's, let's talk about the weekend coming up. Or actually, one of the movies actually came out today, so let's start with that one.
A Real American Hero.
Yes, G.I. Joe Retaliation. Don't blink, because you might miss the description. In this sequel, the G.I. Joes are not only fighting their mortal enemy Cobra, they are forced to contend with threats from within the government that jeopardize their very existence.
Do you need water after that? That was exhausting.
Yeah, well, this is a nice pregame. There's another one that's kind of a little bit longer than that.
You have to lie down for the next one.
PG-13, 1 hour and 30 minutes, starring Dwayne Johnson, Channing Tatum, and why isn't Rotten Tomatoes showing more people? Aidan Palicki, Ray Park, Jonathan Pryce.
Aren't you forgetting somebody?
Bruce Willis?
Yes, unless you said him and I missed it. La. No,
I probably missed it. But yeah,
you know, my friend and I were having this discussion as to whether, because Bruce Willis's character is General Joe Colton, so we're thinking G.I. Joe. I never saw the original one. I went back and looked. G.I. Joe is the actual group. There was no Joe in the first movie. I don't know if General Joe Colton is Joe, but...
Well, I mean, there was a comic. And I don't know how long the G.I. Joe comic ran. But I remember when I was in, I must have been junior high, maybe. There was, they used to have miniseries, an animated miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
They used to play after school. And I don't remember a General Joe Colton. I remember Duke and Scarlet. But I don't remember, like, I don't think that Scarlet's in this one.
I don't see a Scarlet.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of interest myself.
I read one review that it's actually a good, it's a good movie for a G.I. Joe compared to the last one that was a, you know, steaming pile a little bit.
Steaming pile. It's such a great phrase.
Okay. So I guess we're done talking about G.I. Joe.
Uh-huh.
Next, we will go to The Host. What if everything you love was taken from you in the blink of an eye? The Host is the next epic love story from the creator of the Twilight Saga, worldwide selling author Stephanie Meyer. You all right?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm wrestling with a pet who was on the keyboard.
I thought you were making some nonverbal commentary. When an unseen enemy threatens mankind by taking over their bodies and erasing their memories... Melanie Strider, I can't say her name. Go ahead.
I know how to say her name. I actually just learned it about an hour ago. Saoirse.
Oh.
I did not know. I was talking to my friend about this movie, and apparently she was on the Graham Norton show last week, and my friend was talking about the people, and she said Saoirse Ronan, and she's going on and on and on. And then she was talking about something else, and I just screamed out, Saoirse Ronan, that's her name? I've seen this name so many times, had no idea how to pronounce it.
Yeah, too many consecutive L's. But anyways, so she will risk everything to protect the people she cares most about. Jared, Max Irons, Ian, Jake Abel, her brother Jamie, Chandler Canterbury, and her uncle Jeb, William Hurt. Proving that love can conquer all in a dangerous new world. Another PG-13, 2 hours and 5 minutes.
No.
It's Diane Kruger from Inglourious Basterds and Frances Fisher.
I like Frances Fisher. I am not going to see this movie.
No, it's at a whopping 11%.
Ugh,
You can almost smell that rotten tomato over your monitor.
Although I do like this one from New York Post, Luminic. Long, tedious, and often unintentionally hilarious. That's my kind of crappy movie. But no.
Here's actually a blurb from a positive review. Simply dismissing the host as a shallow Invasion of the Body Snatchers Romeo and Juliet mashup would be to ignore how effectively it will play to large herds of mall dwellers.
Oh, God. How sad that that's the good review. Yuck. Meyer's romantic sense, cribbed from the back pages of a junior high girl's Trapper Keeper, is given a bit of depth by the strong cast, particularly Ronan. Oh, no, no.
And the last of the new wide-release movies, we have Temptation. Synopsis, a bold exploration of the intrigue and perils of infidelity. Tyler Perry's Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor, is a compelling love story that dives straight into the heart of obsessive passion. It's about a woman who starts to get restless in her relationship, and her choice to be with another man has a huge effect on the rest of her life, explains screenwriter, producer, director Tyler Perry. Yes, folks, there's actually quotes in the description. She goes on a journey in her career and in her marriage, and she ends up in a very different place than she expected, end quote. In a departure from his previous dramas, this explosive film finds Perry exploring the nature of desire and just how powerful and dangerous a taste of the forbidden can be. This is definitely one of the most provocative movies, sexually and otherwise, that I've made, says the director. There are a lot of people who struggle in their relationships. They don't make bad choices about their marriages. They get divorced. And so many of them don't step out of their situation and really think about the consequences of what they're doing. This movie asks, are you sure you want to do this? It sends up a flag. So yes, for the very first time in movie history, we have a movie description with director commentary. Thank you very much, Mr. Perry. PG-13, 1 hour and 52 minutes. I am ashamed to say that Kim Kardashian is in this movie.
Oh, goodness.
But Vanessa L. Williams.
Journey Smollett-Bell. I remember when she was like 6 or 7 years old. She was... Did you ever watch... Oh, my God. The one with Bob Saget. Why am I drawing a blank?
Full House?
Yes. Did you ever watch Full House?
No.
Oh, well, there goes my... That's who Journey Smollett was. Never mind.
And Brandy Norwood is also in it?
Oh, Brandy.
Pop star?
Yep. Brandy. Renee Taylor. Kind of like her. No desire to see this movie. Especially now saying that Kim Kardashian is in it.
The only way I'm seeing this is if I've lost a bet.
He got drunk and woke up in the theater.
Pretty much.
G.I. Joe was on when I was sober.
Yes, this could be a roofie movie.
Oh.
And that is all for the movie descriptions. Now we should move into picks.
We should.
How are we going to figure out who goes first?
You let me go first last time. My picks are ready and they're done. I don't mind going first.
All right, go ahead and go first.
Okay, then. I am... I'm putting G.I. Joe Retaliation first. Kind of big action, rock'em sock'em robot, Channing Tatum, blah, blah, blah. Maybe Bruce Willis is kind of riding a high. Oh, and The Rock. We dig him. So, I'm putting G.I. Joe Retaliation first. The Croods, I'm putting second. I'm going to put Olympus Has Fallen third.
Interesting.
Temptation fourth. Although now I'm beginning to wonder if I should flip them. Temptation fourth. Because I'm also kind of thinking that the females in the cast will be a bit of a draw, and the host in fifth. Yeah, that's what I'm going with. I'm in 11th place, really. I shouldn't even, I shouldn't be concerned with what my picks are. I am not going anywhere in a hurry.
Come on, this could be the week that you move a 0.03.
If everyone else puts the host first, and since I'm the one that marks the scores, I can't. I'll get into the art house pick. Well, actually, no. My art house pick is Room 237, which is a documentary on Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. And I watched the trailer, which the trailer itself has very little in it, but the music scared the pee out of me.
Yeah, the trailer is what you probably see on a teaser trailer, where there's not that much about the movie, but...
But the music is scary!
Yes.
So, those are my picks for better or for worse. Boom.
All right. So, I'm also going to go with G.I. Joe, number one. I'm going to go with The Cruise, number two. I'm going to go with Tyler Perry at number three. Or, I'm sorry, Temptation. I think we learned when The Call smacked down Burt, or was it Burt Wonderstone?
Mm.
I think it was Burt Wonderstone. That, you know, there's a draw for the African American
women in crisis
actors and actresses.
Quite possible.
So I'm banking on that. That's gonna bring Temptation up to three. I'm going to have Olympus Has Fallen at number four. I'm almost thinking that I've seen so many commercials for The Host, and a lot of those commercials, I mean, there is just a barrage of overly positive comments, and then I look at Rotten Tomatoes, it's 11%.
Who, I mean, are they paying?
Like, you know, the source of the quotes are like, you know, this guy from the corner who talks about movies.com. I don't know where these guys are coming from. So anyways, Olympus Has Fallen at four. The Host at five. We'll see. We'll see if fans of Stephenie Meyer will go see her movies, even though when there's not a lot of star power. Not there was star power in Twilight, but...
True.
So we'll see what happens. And for my indie pick, I wanted to pick Mental, which is a comedy from Australia that looks pretty good. But I'm going to go with The Place Beyond the Pines. I saw the trailer before Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh.
And it's a crime. It's a crime movie that has Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper, Ava Mendez, Rose Byrne, Ray Liotta. So that's a very good cast, and it looks like it looks in a very intriguing movie. So I'm going to go with Place Beyond the Pines.
Sounds good.
That's on four screens.
I believe mine is on two. Two whole screens. So one in L.A., one in New York is what I'm going with. And have we any news, Jeff?
I have a handful of news items. The first one was a little discussion on what the expectations are for Tyler Perry's Temptation, because they went back and looked at some of his other movies.
Okay.
And how well they've done.
Do the non-Madea movies do as well?
Well, it's interesting. They say that three of Perry's previous films have premiered on Easter weekend. 2011 was Madea's Big Happy Family with $25.3 million. And in 2010 was Why Did I Get Married 2, which debuted to $29.3 million. But those were both sequels. So they're saying the best comparison is in 2008, Meet the Browns, which earned $20.1 million. Or 20.1
millions and millions.
Millions, yeah. Okay, so I was wondering, because I was really excited at one time for the next X-Men. X-Men Class, I don't know, Part 2 or X-Men First Class 2.
Mm-hmm.
The director that directed the first one had left the project. So they got Bryan Singer, who did the first two. He has kind of stepped in, so I'm not feeling as good. But I was curious about, if he left X-Men, what has he been working on? Well, apparently his next movie, which is going to come out next year, November 14, 2014, the movie is called Secret Service.
Okay.
And it's a, if you remember, Matthew Vaughn, one of his first movies, his last big movie directed for X-Men was Kick-Ass.
Oh, okay.
And the writer of the original graphic novel Kick-Ass, he also wrote this comic series, Secret Service. So it's basically about a Secret Service agent takes a younger agent under his wing, and they investigate the murder of every resident in a small town. And it also says a mysterious secret involving Mount Everest. So I enjoy his work as a director, so I'm looking forward to Secret Service, even though I have no idea who's in it.
That was going to be my next question. Do we have any idea who's in it yet?
No. Story number two is, this is for Deuce, because I know he's a big Martin Scorsese fan.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Scorsese and Miramax are developing Gangs of New York for television.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be based on the original 2002, Gangs of New York. And, I really enjoy Gangs of New York, and we'll be interested to see if Scorsese can work his magic on TV as well as he does in film.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I've always wanted to see the whole of the movie. It's one of those ones that comes on TV and I'll catch some here and some there. And I've never been able to sit down and watch the whole thing. Yeah, I wonder if it's on Netflix.
The series would mark Scorsese's latest small screen venture, joining HBO's Emmy-nominated period gangster drama Boardwalk Empire, which will bow its fourth season this year. And then my last story is that a Wolverine trailer came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little reading about what the story is going to be about. And Wolverine goes to Japan. And we don't know why he goes to Japan, but that was kind of a big storyline in the comics. But
do we know why in the comics he goes to Japan? Or?
Oh, no.
Don't remember.
Sorry to ask that because I don't remember. I think to look up a lost love.
Okay.
So we might need a comment or two from Scott because I'm sure that he knows better than I do, and I probably should have knew that answer before I brought this up. But apparently the villains that are going to be in this are Viper and Silver Samurai.
Ah.
So that should be fun. But there was a blurb at the end of the article that said that Hugh Jackman is very excited about this movie because for the first time he's had enough time to get his body into shape so he can accurately represent what he thinks Wolverine will look like. And apparently a female co-star has said, yeah, he looks great.
I was going to say, I have had zero complaints on what he has looked like thus far. If he is actually further bulking himself up.
Well, I heard that he has talked to Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, about bulking up.
Man.
A lot of chicken and rice and protein and up your caloric intake to 6,000 calories a day.
Holy crap. I might need to bring a portable fan when I go see that.
Well, I'm just bringing this up because I'm selling you on going to see it opening day, Lena. That's all I'm saying.
Do we know when it's opening?
That is a good question.
And the show comes to a screeching halt while we look this up.
That's right.
Through the magic of editing, no one will know. It might take us upwards of a half hour.
So, yeah, if we sat on a huge amount of money, we could cue the Jeopardy music right now. Oh, did you see the trailer for World War Z?
With Tom Cruise?
Brad Pitt.
Oh, I saw once, and it was either yesterday or the day before. While I was packing, I think I kind of caught it in passing on TV. Which one is Tom Cruise in? Because now they're all looking the same to me.
He's in Oblivion, I think.
Oh, okay.
That's
World War Z.
Sci-fi. It's another zombie movie.
Matthew Michael Carnahan. That name is extremely familiar. What else has he written?
Okay, so The Wolverine.
Oh, yes.
July 26th.
Okay.
And I think there's no other wide releases. The month before, Red 2 comes out.
I don't know what that is.
Did you ever see Red with Bruce Willis? Helen Mirren.
Oh, no, I wanted to. Okay, I remember that.
John Malkovich and Morgan Freeman.
I wanted to, but I did not.
So that month we got Red 2. Week before that is Pacific Rim and Grown Ups 2. Another Adam Sandler. And then for July weekend, we have Despicable Me 2 and Lone Ranger.
Oh.
So that's going to be a good month.
I see World War Z is due to be released on June 21st in 2D and Real D 3D.
Oh, my God.
Too many Ds. Bryan Cranston's in it. Bitches. That's right. And David Morris. I like David Morris. I always have. So back to my Matthew Michael Carnahan. I know that name, and I don't know why.
Well, let's look him up and see it.
Yeah, The Kingdom, Lions for Lambs, State of Play, and White Jazz. I know nothing of these. So now I don't know why I know his name. Huh. Nope, I have no idea why. I'm even looking him up on IMDb. I've not seen any of his work. The Kingdom, that's familiar.
Yes.
Jamie Foxx, okay.
I watched that recently. Good flick.
Okay, he wrote that. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, so did we mention the Tom Cruise?
No.
It's Tom Cruise. Oblivion comes out April 19th.
That's soon.
Tom Cruise, Morgan Freeman, Melissa Leo.
Oh, I like her.
It says post-apocalypse.
When does that, because I mean, not that I want to see it, but the one with Will Smith and his son.
Oh, I just saw that, too.
After Earth.
Yes, After Earth.
June 7th. Okay, backtracking, because we are nothing if not confusing, World War Z. When I saw the trailer, either last night or the night before on TV, and I will admit, I was packing, so I wasn't paying complete attention. For some reason, I felt like there was a flash on the screen that said something about the rise of the Planet of the Apes. Am I making this up?
I think you are, because I didn't see that.
I don't... Oh, After Earth was directed by M. Night Shyamalan. Oh my God, I've got to stop jumping all over the place. I'm going to make myself dizzy. In words on the screen, I saw, Return to the Planet of the Apes during World War Z. I feel like I did.
That might be sleep deprivation.
It's entirely possible. I've had very little sleep this week.
Okay, so you said what, Return?
Return to the Planet of the Apes. Because I was very confused. And then I'm like, why is Brad Pitt in a Planet of the Apes movie?
Yeah, I don't see any hits with those two.
Oh, yeah, I don't, I don't know. Could have been like a 2-second seizure. Who knows? If I could put together the number of dust bunnies that I've uncovered, especially while packing bookcases.
Yeah, just be cat hair inhalation.
You know, she doesn't shed all that much. I kind of lucked out in that respect. Like, really, the only time I find I have a lot of cat hair is if she has decided she wants to sleep forever on a particular piece of clothing. Or if you're holding her and she's upset, because much like a porcupine, she just, poof, releases fur. Like, if she's pissed off, she'll just, I think there's some kind of inner valve, and all of her hair just flies off and sticks to me.
You might have the first, or maybe second or third, feline illusionist. That's her exit. Waiting for her to say, exit, stage right.
Oh, if I could teach her to do that, that would be so cool.
Yeah, I think you'd be a grumpy cat if you can get her good.
Yeah, she's been staring at me for 20 minutes. She's making me nervous.
So, yeah, so she does the puff of smoke escape and the Mexican standoff. Come on, make a move.
I would love to teach her how to do the Mexican standoff. She'd be the coolest cat ever. Buy her a little gun. She gives you the death stare. She's got that part down.
Does she have a sombrero and a poncho?
She doesn't like having things on her. I have tried so many times to put things on her.
She's Hollywood, all right.
Oh, she doesn't like it at all. But at least I know that's one way if she's bothering me. All I have to do is, like, pick up a shirt or a towel and hold it near her, and she takes off, because she thinks I'm going to put it on her. So at the very least, and I have a can of air, and for some reason, any kind of, like, shh, shh, like that sound, if I just pick up the can of air, she will run so fast that she'll do that thing where the feet keep moving, but she's not going anywhere.
Do you ever do that mean trick to cats? And with April Fool's Day coming up, it would probably be pretty funny. You have a sound recording of an electric can opener?
No.
Get on a loop?
No.
Sit in the kitchen for like an hour?
It's terrible. Although sometimes I'll play on YouTube kittens crying. Not crying, but just they're kittens.
Right.
So, and I'll play it on my phone, and I'll hide the phone, and she goes apeshit trying to find out where the kittens are. I suppose that could be considered cruel. She's not upset. She just wants to know where they are. She keeps looking at me like, I know they're here somewhere. Those babies are hungry. Tell me where they are. But you know what? If I'm going to wake up and find cat butt in my face, I deserve to tease her. You don't have cats, do you?
No.
Yeah, that's...
Why? Because my mom will think it's a message that we don't want her around. That's one of many reasons, but she...
She's allergic?
She's allergic, yeah. Oh. She gets really sick.
Cats really like to, especially when they get up and stretch after a nap, they love to just lift their tail and put their butt right in your face. I don't know why, but that's what they do. So if she's going to do that, I get to torture her a little bit, just a little bit every once in a while. It's all harmless. I give her peanut butter afterwards. She's happy as can be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's all I had.
Me too. And after all that cat stuff, I'm thinking the audience is gone also. Sorry, guys. I think that's about it. I am probably going to be asleep within the next 15 minutes. I am so very tired. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. If you go to the movies, go see G.I. Joe. Go see The Croods. Go see whatever you want. Have a wonderful time. Happy Easter to everybody. And if you fool anybody on April 1st, enjoy that as well. Yes. And we will be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, same bat podcast.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you later.
Bye-bye.